now.
You're gonna
You
do
know,
this.
But yeah, I knew it out.
Like,
But
right now?
yeah,
And
you know,
then
we
you
run
just keep
switchers, but
switching.
yeah, one year may have to take some interest along that. I don't think
anything has changed here.
But you don't take me
before
that.
I all broke. Yeah, so they're starting to be in that
Well,
higher quote. Ball help. Have something like that.
We do have a quorum.
I haven't. This is Amazon.
Oh, Leonard's online, so we for sure have a quorum. Okay. Well, we will call to order the regular meeting of the Northview Fire District Board of Trustees. Today is Thursday, May 28th, 2026. We're starting this meeting with the full board's here except for Meredith and Meredith Ardema and John Arrington. And Leonard Call is participating or is joining us electronically. Very good. Let's then begin with agenda item number one. Well, we welcome everybody here. We welcome the members of the public. Where it's always nice to see Kevin Karras here, so thank you. Okay, so item number one, opening prayer, reading, or expression of thought and pledge of allegiance, and Trustee Clark.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sorry. Hold that pose.
What else different?
Glad you could have.
Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this opportunity to gather today to discuss those items that will help the Northview Fire District. We're grateful for watching over us, blessing us. We're grateful for our wonderful nation that we live in, and for the many freedoms that we enjoy. We're grateful to be able to celebrate our 250th anniversary, and for those who have gone on before us, make it possible for us to enjoy this great nation and our wonderful state and the beautiful area which we live. We're grateful for their sacrifices. We're grateful for the sacrifices that are made on our behalf today. We're grateful for those who serve us. We ask for the blessings on them. You will strengthen them, guide them, protect them. Bless their loved ones and family members that are away. We ask for thy inspiration and guidance to be upon us, that we can do those things that will help our citizens and our communities to be safer. We love thee. We thank thee for all thou dost for us. And we ask for these things in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Chris. And welcome, Carter.
Thank you.
Item number two, consideration to approve the minutes of April 23rd, 2026. Those have been distributed to us electronically.
Those were amended as well.
They were amended.
They,
thank you. Yes.
Yes. There was exhibit B twice in the minutes, but it's from the same PowerPoint, and I forgot to add the policy. So they've been added to mine or to the historical one, but from that PowerPoint.
Okay. Thank you for pointing that out. Are there any questions or concerns or clarifications? Not, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of April 28th to 2026.
April
23rd. Oh, 23rd, I'm sorry.
April 23rd.
April 23rd, 2026.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve those minutes. Or is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Well, thanks, Leonard. You remember, I'll slow down. Okay, item number three, consideration to approve the monthly financial transactions for April 2026. So Jeff Davis is joining us online. And Jeff, by the way, I saw that you were able to change the format of the year-to-date actual so that we see the entire thing in one page, but on the complete page. And thank you for that. It's very helpful. But Jeff, go ahead.
Okay. Just quickly, you've got the year-to-date actual, the budget up, but first of all, are there any questions on the actual transactions for April? You have those also.
Looks like there's no questions on the transactions.
Okay. So on the year-to-date actual to budget, we're through the end of April. As far as the revenues showing, you'll notice at the bottom of this report is dated that gets put in May 21st. So any bills that have actually been recorded are through May 21st. So I guess, year to date here is essentially revenues through April and then expenditures that have been billed anyway. They may not have been paid quite yet, but have been put in as bills and past expenditures is through May 21st. So again, I've got the green is revenues and expenditures that are in good shape. The pink is they're close, not too concerning. Red are the ones that need watching. Just basically revenue is doing well this time. The one that has a pink on it, the paramedic license revenue for Weber County. So we were missing January, February, March, and April. That did come in May. So that was about 203,000 something. So they're caught up through May. So, there will be another 203,000 in addition to that 297. So all the other expenditures, also payroll, salaries and wages, benefits and expenses, employee benefits expense are doing just fine. And we're on good footing for that. You'll see books and subscriptions. We're just slightly over there. Those are pretty much all paid. We shouldn't have any more for the year. But 37 versus 32. Equipment O&M and vehicle O&M are over slightly. That vehicle O&M, we did look at that. We paid $24,000 to get the medic truck fixed, but we already included that same amount essentially that came from insurance that paid off. So those offset actually in our vehicle O&M account. Utilities and telephone, we've got about a month left. We're slightly over there. Professional and technical, we're really close. Be slightly over there. We've got one more month to put in there as well. Administrative and accounting. Actually, we've still got about a month left, so we're a little bit under that. Expenditures are still not to the budget yet, so we're going to be okay there. We should overall, let's see, We have supplies to be reimbursed by employees. That's one. I think I've got that listed where about 9,000 of that will be reimbursed by employees for Class A uniforms. So that's why we're over there. And that's from department supplies. Medical supplies, again, we're over there. That's just something that we keep track of, but medical supplies have just gone up over the year. So we're ahead, we're behind in that one, but we should be okay. In general, if you look at the total expenses and then the net income, we're overall going to be fine. Our total expenditures are not exceeding our total budget. So we should be fine there. This coming month, after I do the close for May, we'll look at it in real detail to make sure that we need to or don't need to do a budget amendment. I don't think at this point we will. I think overall our total expenditures will be under our budgeted expenditures for the year. Any questions you have?
Any questions? Cam, any questions? Very good. Is there a motion then?
Move to approve the monthly financial.
A second.
Okay, a motion and a second to approve the monthly financial transactions for April. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, Jeff.
Welcome.
Appreciate you. Okay, we'll move to item number four, public comments.
Kevin Harris. I'm commenting about the public comments. I noticed it's limited to 3 minutes. It hasn't been in the past, so it must be that I've gone way too long.
No, it was the housekeeping for the upcoming TNT.
Recognize that. I'm interested in knowing, was the 3 minutes derived by the board or was it administratively? I noticed there's a note that prints out that says if you feel like you have comments that are longer, to email Nikki. There, I'm wondering how that's handled. What happens if I email you and say I need 5 minutes, or how's that supposed to work?
I went off just of the common everybody in the Weber County. I went off a lot of their different agendas.
So how do they handle it then?
Not sure. I would think, I mean, here, I'll give you the way I would propose to handle it. And whether we need to, actually amend anything to, reflect this, but I think the length of a public comment is always going to be at the board, at the board chair's discretion. So if the chair feels that it's productive and not, I mean, as you know, sometimes those comments just they just say the same thing over and over and over again, and it becomes unnecessary for it to go beyond 3 minutes. But if somebody has something to say that is legitimately going to take longer than 3 minutes, I think the board chair has the discretion to be able to extend additional time
I appreciate that. And that's what I would hope to be, that it would be up to them, because conceivably there could be dialogue that could happen,
Right.
that then it's like, well, it'd be like a
That.
Senate hearing, like I demand my 3 minutes back or my whatever time. I just know from prior
Requirements are.
experience and having opportunities to speak in some other meetings, 3 minutes can be really short.
Yeah.
And if anything, I know North Ogden uses a 5 minute. Is that correct, Mayor? I don't know if you had to put on your hat to do that, but so if anything, I would recommend 5 and just want to make sure the board is in agreement. Thank you.
Yeah. Does anybody have any concerns about that being the length of time?
That's how we handle it. The public use 3 minutes with managed discretion.
And on the for the public hearing, the caveat, I was going to talk to you and say, do you want 5 minutes for that public hearing where they can have more time? Because in the past, it has been set up 5 minutes for the public hearing.
I'm close to 3 minutes.
Oh. I know last year we did 5 minutes and we kept going over. I can look at the notes and make sure that that's correct. But that was,
well, I think we should be consistent.
So.
So if we gave 5 minutes last year, then
I'll check and make sure.
Then let's put 5 minutes. But if it was 3 minutes, let's do 3 minutes. I mean, I've always felt like it's enough. I mean, and the other thing too is, again, people are making productive comments and respectful, and then we may not. I mean, it's not like this room is just going to be, you know, bursting at the seams and we're going to be here all night if we let everybody say something, you know. But if that were to happen, then maybe we would more strictly follow the 3 minute rule. But I mean, even when we've had a lot of people here, you know, I felt like we've been able to keep it pretty productive. So
is there anything in the open meeting rules about the time limit?
I was just looking in here. I didn't see one on
that. We just have to be clear what our rule is.
Because it isn't a public comment, also just a time for public comment. There's no discussion.
Usually, typically,
that's typically the case.
Yes.
But it does, but sometimes, like what Kevin said, you know, sometimes there will be some engaging,
right?
And or if they have a question, now if it's their question, you know, I mean, arguably, well, that's part of your time. But, you know, again, I think the chair has the prerogative to be able to kind of judge that and make adjustments if necessary. I mean, obviously, we would not want to cut off people's ability to give us meaningful input.
And we wish Kevin did this every meeting.
But thank you for asking the question. It's good. And yeah, thank you. All right, item number 5, discussion and or action on the approval of the RISE Interlocal Cooperation Agreement. Deputy Chief Barker.
Actually, Rob Bent with Urban and Maine is here, so I think we'll let him do the presentation.
Yeah.
I'll open up whatever you want opened up.
So I know we talked about it last one of the things for trustees for having me back.
Welcome.
Yeah. So I don't know, would it be helpful to go over the presentation again, or do you want to just ask some questions? As a reminder, it's for the RISE Bakery Manufacturing Facility, the expansion. We're asking for 15 years, 50-50 split. For the fire district, it's about $23,000 a year, total of it's about 14, a little more than 14,000 a year, and it's $214,000 total. The $23,000 a year is the base year taxes that you'll continue to receive. And yeah, I don't know if there's any questions on that.
Have you heard back from all the other taxing entities that you've
so still approached? Negotiating with those. So from the Mosquito District, we didn't have a quorum. So we're going back in June to present to them. The sewer district had a lot of questions and a couple of suggested amendments. So we're going to go back to them in June. And then we were Basin and Water District also going to them.
So those are the only ones that you don't yet have, and us.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
And did all the others agree, except for the ones that you said were?
County and school districts have agreed, and the other ones. I know the Mosquito Abatement District, they have a policy in place, but theirs is 15 years, 50%, which we meet. But yeah, I can't speak to what they'll decide to do. And mayors on both of those boards, so we've seen each other a lot. What was that?
The Weber 911.
So we haven't approached them. Again, there's that policy. Usually Weber County tells us if they're going to participate, that they don't want the 911. Dispatch to participate, but I'm more than willing to reach out to them.
Yeah, if you approach.
Questions?
We currently don't have a policy regarding this.
We do not.
Okay.
A couple of notes that so last time you asked that we change the cap amount to just be what the fire district is. So we've done that in a local agreement. The cap amount was the total of $1.7 million. That's now been revised to be the $217,000.
So it would never be more than
once that. It's 217, it's over. Correct.
Yeah.
The other thing that the sewer district, there's a lot of the interlocal agreement is kind of boilerplate language that just gets left in from agreement to agreement. There was something in that mentioned that tax increases we would get. We removed that. That's out of there. So if you guys raise your taxes, the RDA won't get the benefit of that. You'll get the entire benefit of the tax increase. We also added to the participation contingency. This is the older agreement. So paragraph 8, we struck that. That's no longer in your agreement that you have in your packet. And then something that the water district, I can only get word that for, is to not only have the contingencies based on the product line expansion, but also 100% job, which we've added to that your agreement as well.
That you have to create 170 jobs? Is that?
Yeah, so the product line expansion will create 170 jobs. So that's something the water district's like, we don't want to, we agree that the product line expansion is important, but 170 jobs is what's the real great thing of this project. So we want to make sure that the product line expansion leads to the actual, those 170 jobs.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other big thing, so I spoke with Rise, and just double check with them. So the big difference is a lot of those costs for the water efficiency and the air efficiency, those are the same if it's the product line expansion or if it's just the warehouse, but it's what's in the actual building that they're asking for kind of the help with. And that's the $26 million of personal property. And in the event that it ends up just being the warehouse, that $26 million number goes down to about $2 million. And so for the fire district, it's about, you end up going from $28,000 a year, you drop to about $70,000 a year would be the increase in the property tax that you get on the expansion.
Other questions? I mean, maybe just, can you just address, because I think the what I hear people concerned about is that this is all being done kind of after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that you, or that Rise is going to do this anyway.
Yep.
And so they're just trying to, you know, go after some money.
Yep.
And so can you just address that?
Yeah,
for us.
Yeah. So that's been a concern that we, from the very beginning, the city's had, right? Because when we started this process, they had already submitted to Planning Commission the actual footprint of the building. And so that's something that we've asked for. And Rice has told us that they haven't gotten to the point yet where they're deciding what they're going to put in the building yet. And this $1.7 million is critical to that. Everything that's in the building that they put in there so far could still be the warehouse or it could be the product line expansion, because a lot of what that $26 million is the different lines and the different machines and ovens and things like that. So we've just asked them and they've told us that they haven't made that decision yet of what it's going to be.
Okay. Any other questions? Any reports from staff? As far as any additional information that you feel like we ought to be aware of?
Ryan, did you do their progress inspection today?
Yes.
Can you give us an update on
the line? I went, they had me come out and do their sprinkler overhead inspection. So is there, there's, and this was one of my concerns from the get-go early, is because fire sprinklers are designed off of your use. And so between storage and manufacturing is a whole different system.
Okay.
And when I brought up the concern, they actually mentioned that it would be manufacturing only. They're not doing storage. And even the whole system that's installed is for manufacturing. And they're starting to actually move some manufacturing stuff in. I think their intent is to manufacture, and it's not to store. And that facility is big enough that they don't want to store. So that's
what are they projected to complete?
They're going to have occupancy the end of June can start, and then that's when they decide what if they start bringing in more manufacturing equipment, what their contractor told me. But, yeah.
Yeah, the intent of Pleasant View is not to pull one over. So I'm not, I can't speak to what it's going to be, what it's not going to be, right. Just what they've been told us.
We won't shoot the messenger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also do feel like the 911 dispatch is kind of being kept at at bay because they are a necessity that everyone in the community needs. And I feel like we almost fall under that same umbrella.
Yeah.
That we are a community service that is mandatory and not just a service that people are hoping for. So I almost feel like we also fall under a similar umbrella, and it's hard to give away taxpayer money for essential services.
Yeah. Just
a thought.
So, and it's been, it's been a long process. That's something that I mentioned to the sewer district is a lot of special service districts have a policy that they're not going to take any action until the school district and the counties take action.
Right.
And so we approached the county in January, and it was just a long process. Right. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's hard also when the big players are then on board, and fire district's a big player, the third highest taxing entity in the area. But a lot of the times, then they go, oh, well, if the school district and county are against, they're probably going to come anyway. But it's kind of hard when that's the policy that, the taxing entities have in place.
And just remind us, so the county and the school district, they both...
Yeah, 15 years, 50%. If the sewer district, candidly, their policy's 10 years and 50%, and that's what they'll probably be at. But everybody else, we're asking for that 15 years.
Very good. Any other questions? So thank you. And is there any discussion that you want to have? Anybody want to make a motion?
Well, one of the things that come through that I, this is my research of learning about Rise and Brill, and in 2023 they were $1.4 billion company in their revenues, and then 2024 they were $1.8 billion in their revenues, and we are very limited in what revenues we get internally to run our organization. So I think even if we were to commit to it, it's a small drop in the bucket to do it in the grand scheme of their business enterprise.
And it's a big bucket for us.
It's a big bucket for us.
Well, is it a big bucket for us? I mean, the cap is $217,000 over 15 years. That is how much a year? What's the amount for?
About 14,300.
I mean, what's our budget? What's our budget this year? I mean, yeah, we're not a $1.8 billion company. And the one or the, what's the total you get out of this?
1.7.
1.7. I mean, that's nothing to a $1.8 billion company. But
especially what you're saying is exactly why I don't think we need to do it. It's really nothing for a $1.8 billion company.
Well, but those are evaluated on they evaluate they make their decisions based on site by site, right?
Sure.
So they're not going to take. They're not going to make a portion of the $1.8 billion available to build a project unless they want to go forward with that project, and it's going to be profitable and pay for itself. So, I think each project probably has to stand on its own and be financed on its own. So, Chris,
my heartache comes, we don't have a policy, and that's like getting arrested for something that they don't even have a law for. So for me, for my brain, it's pretty unethical for us to go, well, we can't do that. You're going to pay us the full amount when we don't have a policy. That does not sit good with me.
Really?
And I think this makes us go, okay, I don't know if we've ever had one of these come before. I don't remember. But now it's like, okay, we're with this. Let's set a policy. But we can't enact that policy on something that's already in the process. I think it's unethical, but that's me.
Might be unethical to go ahead and do it, though, because we don't have a policy.
still getting money.
Yeah.
We're still getting tax revenue.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, it's not like this, we're talking about money we have not yet received or may not receive. And without the investment from the company to the levels that they're talking about, we don't even get that money. So we're not taking money away from the taxpayers at all. We're just saying that for a period of time, you're not going to get as much future tax as you might otherwise have received. And when you factor in what they paid in impact fees, what was the impact fee?
$127,000.
So, I mean, a substantial amount of money has been paid. I mean, that money's in the door. And so, yeah, I just, yeah.
Can I make a motion?
Sure.
A motion that we do not approve the RISE Interlocal Corporate Agreement.
Okay. There's a motion. Is there a second?
I have a second now.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion or any discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Nay.
Nay.
So it's, well, did you vote?
Having not been here for the discussion, even though I have an opinion on this, I'm not going to vote.
You might have to.
You may have to.
We're 3-3.
Sorry.
Hey.
So would I then clarify the motion before I vote?
Do a roll call.
So, yeah, so let's do a roll call.
Okay.
And I'll vote last.
So we need to state that it's for specifically the resolution with the number.
Yeah. Not yet, okay. Because we might not have to do the resolution.
Okay.
So, go ahead. Since I will probably have to vote, I'd like, even though I'm late, have a brief discussion about what we're voting on.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
it's just to participate in the RDA.
Yes. And it's the same agreement that was before us before. However, there have been some changes that have been made to be consistent with other, what you know, the negotiations that have been taking place with other taxing entities.
If we're clarified that it's for the RDA, then I can.
It is for the
RDA. Even though I don't have an knowledge on this one, I do have an opinion.
Okay. So we'll do roll call. Roll call. Chris?
Nay.
Nay. Nay. Yay.
We're like, wait, you voted nay the first time.
We're going backwards. Yay.
Yay.
No.
Yay.
And no. So.
You're voting in favor of having the RDA.
Yes,
you're
supporting. I understand.
Okay.
All right. So that motion fails. So is there another?
So you all voted against Meredith's motion.
Correct.
Okay.
So yes. Her motion.
You're buying that. Thank
her
you.
Motion.
There's only failed. Two that were A. Three that were yay, four that were nay. Who was the other yay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right, so then is there a motion to... Is there another
motion? The back is confused. I totally get it.
I would like to just offer some background to maybe address the... They're already building it type of thing. First time that RISE approached Pleasant View City was probably a year and a half ago. With this, and it has taken that long, and they did not want to just so the comment of to what they're going to put in it, my understanding was they were talking about a R&D type facility. Yeah. Well, it's still the case, or if this is pure production, but anyway, it has taken that long for this process to get to the point it's at now is that long. And they like, we're going to build it, whether we're going to use it for whatever we're going to use it for. If they did nothing, put the expansion in another state or something, which they could have, they're not going to, obviously, but they could have, then we wouldn't even be getting the 50% that we're talking about. We'd be getting nothing. Plus, let's don't forget the $28 million worth of unsecured personal property that is taxed. In Pleasantview, our unsecured personal property income affects us too, but is greater than our sales tax because of the industrial park and all the heavy duty machinery and all the kind of stuff that's out there. So that $28 million is a big thing. We here at this district owe tax money. So, you know, yeah, they might be planning on doing it. They might do it anyway, but the guarantee that it ain't going to do anything, there isn't the 170 jobs. And I don't know if that's in our contract.
It's on that.
You know, I think that line, or to me, is a game changer. Like, well, if they don't do it, then we don't pay them.
Yeah.
Or they don't get the money. So that's why I voted the way I did.
Thank you, Leonard. That
clarification.
I think that's helpful.
Yeah.
Very helpful.
Thank you.
So we need another motion.
Somebody want to make a motion?
1 second.
I'll make a motion that we accept the resolution that has been presented by Rise.
It's just the interlocal agreement.
Just to clarify, so this is a motion to approve the Rise Interlocal Cooperation Agreement.
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? And we'll do Dave, this. We'll
did
do
you
this.
Make one comment. Sorry, just one quick discussion point.
Yeah.
Did you make a comment to me that you had actually heard someone talk to Rise Bakery and they said that they were going to move forward with this no matter what?
I think that's kind of what we gleaned from something here in the meeting prior months.
Okay. Thanks.
Any further discussion?
Okay.
Chris.
Yay.
Yay.
And yeah, just so we're clear, so we're voting. So a yes vote on this would be to approve the agreement as presented. So,
nay.
So Chris, yes.
Yes.
Leonard, yes.
Yes.
Nay.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. So I rule that it passes 4-3. And thank you.
Yep. And I think just a note, so Weaver Fire District has a policy that they have, so that might be a good one to reach out to.
Yeah, we have one. We did have a meeting where we discussed it, and we just have not moved forward with enacting that policy. So
thanks so much.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I was going to say, I didn't want to bring a policy when I knew something was coming.
Sure.
Or during the process of it coming. So.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so we'll move then to item number 6, discussion and or action on the approval of resolution 26-2, Chief Barker.
Hold on, I've got to pull it up. I hit the wrong one. Sorry, me and technology are not friends. Yeah. So this is, if I understand correctly, Nick, you went to training and realized we should be passing resolutions a lot more than we have been. And so this is just a resolution to adopt the interlocal or to formally approve the interlocal. So I'm pulling it up right.
Yeah, so any interlocal that has money changing hands between the entities should be passed by resolution. Rachel drafted this resolution for us after reviewing the interlocal agreement.
So this is, yeah, you just basically
approved. So a little bit of redundancy of what we just did, they now just want it in resolution form.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
And probably could have, in the future, probably combined these.
Yes.
So
yes.
I was just going to make
one item rather than not being
separate. Okay. Yeah. I move approval of this resolution 26.
Do you have enough to?
That's all.
There's a motion to approve. Is there a second?
A second.
there any, is there any discussion? This will be by roll call. Chris.
Yes.
Leonard.
Yes.
Kristen.
No.
Meredith.
No.
Yes, John.
Okay. No. And Tim is yes.
You said me, right?
Yeah.
Very good. So that also is adopted.
Like, if I yes or no? I don't know.
Gotta wait. What?
What is the question? I know.
Okay.
I'm not second president.
That is our rate, or?
Oh, I know. Is that like a monitor for your?
I was prepared.
I have on all of them.
All right. So item number 7. Discussion and or action on the approval of policy 219 fund balance financial reserve and policy 220 capital improvement plan. Chief Maxwell.
Maybe I'm sharing.
Oh, and it's on your side, Parker. There you go.
Oh, okay.
At the top. Top. Finally. Okay, this was the policies we've been working on for months now. Started out with Jeff and I discussing this and with Cam and trying to manage some of the confusion that we inevitably run into during budget process regarding how much money we have in what account and why and whether or not it should be that way. So each of you have seen these policies, that you've seen drafts. We talked about it during the budget committee process and in our 2.2s. Nothing's changed since then, but for the public, for Kevin, we'll go through it. So what this does, Kevin, is this establishes a structured approach to financial stability, operations, continuity, and long-term capital planning. These policies align with GFOA best practices and GASB standards. We want to be doing things better. We want to be tight administrative. Unassigned fund balance, or we've back and forth quite a bit. GFOA recommends no less than 16.75% in your general unassigned fund balance. We went with 20 as our basement, with 25 being our target. This provides sort of our rainy day fund, right? Emergencies, revenue shortfalls, irregular expenditures, including compensated absences. If the balance drops below 20%, then our policy requires us to develop a restoration plan for that. So any expenditure out of that that's significant is going to require board approval. So we're not giving away control. In fact, we're trying to gain more control over why we have the money and what funds and what we're supposed to do with it. So that would be a board choice if we decided to dip below that 20%. Expecting that would be extenuating circumstances. That would be something that we'd have a long discussion over. And the policy just prompts us then to have a plan to get that back above that 20%. Statutory compliance, the total general fund balance is capped. We talked about having a cap on that. So municipalities have a 35% cap on their general fund assigned. The state says that as a district, we can have the combination of our adopted budget plus 100% of property tax levy, which I think is about $9.5 million right now. So again, we're nowhere near that. We felt it was appropriate not to put a stricter limit on ourselves than we needed to by our code. Assigned fund balance, capital reserve. Looked at some comparable size fire departments to determine what a good limit for that would be. And it sort of mirrored what we'd already talked about in past meetings and other budget years about having, you know, at least enough money to replace one piece of large apparatus. So $1.5 million in our capital fund as a minimum. This fund is to support apparatus replacement, station construction, major equipment and capital projects. It's guided by the capital improvements plan, which is the next policy. This will be reviewed annually during the budget process. And of course, just like everything else, requires your approval before we use it. Compensated absences, in the past, we've covered all or some of that compensated absences liability in an assigned line item in our annual budget. We've had lots of discussions on that the past couple of years about why are we assigning so much to that when it almost never gets spent. This policy allows us to move that liability that we have to legally comply by over to our unassigned fund balance while still keeping some percentage assigned to be spent during budget year for those employees. So we settled on 25% of total liabilities to cover expected payouts. So that would be equivalent to a quarter of our fire department leaving and us have to pay out their PTO balances. Any larger non-routine payments that come up. So say we lose half the department, we probably have more to talk about, but one of the things we'll have to talk about is doing a budget amendment, pull some of those unassigned funds into the current budget to be able to cover those expenses. That I think is pretty good enough. Something came up in the budget committee meetings was, you know, we understand that, you know, unassigned fund balance isn't cash. It's not money in the bank. It's a combination of our assets and our cash and everything else. And I think it was Leonard asked for some clarity on that. So we worked on that to add some clarity on what our cash flow and liquidity requirements are. So consistent with GFOA best practices, the district will try to maintain approximately 33% of the annual general fund expenditure. So our budget for the year, approximately 33% of that, to give us operational cushion, cash flow, and liquidity over the course of a 12-month year. Here we get our revenue in spurts, specifically our largest revenue source, property tax. We get those in chunks with the largest chunk coming at the end of the year in November, December. And that's something that Jeff and I have talked about, including in your monthly financials to show you where we're at fast forward-wise throughout the year so we understand not only how much you know, assets and money we have all combined as unassigned or assigned, but how much cash do we actually have on hand needed? Oversight accountability, fund balance levels monitored throughout the year, reported during the budget process, also reviewed at least every 3 years. Didn't add it in here yet, but another thing came out of the budget committee, conversations of work was at what point in time is this snapshot taken? Decided that the audit was the most appropriate time to take those measurements. So that's also in the policy that all these fund balance minimums and maximums will be viewed in the context of the audited snapshot. If applied, these are rough, but the unassigned fund balance right now, approximately 1.5 million, minimum cash on hand of about 2.6 in order to get us through the year. And then the capital fund balance of approximately 2.9. That brings us to the capital improvements plans. This is sort of the ugly sister, the other policy. So what does this one do? This establishes a 10-year capital improvements plan. We want to, and we can, and I think it's irresponsible not to project out what our capital expenses are going to be. We know what they are. We should be planning, right? And that helps us also get an idea how much money we should be setting aside in that capital fund rather than having that sit around in an unassigned fund balance. You know, let's be use some forethought here. So what this policy does, it ensures operational readiness, personal safety, and fiscal responsibility, provides structured planning for apparatus replacement, facilities, and long-term capital needs. The capital improvement plan is the official guiding document for fleet replacement and facility planning. This works in conjunction with the fund balance and financial reserve policy 219. Capital reserve minimum and targets set by the board. This is reviewed annually as part of the budget process. So this isn't something that we're bound by. This is our guiding document, just like a strategic plan where you guys annually get the option to look at it and say, no, let's move this, let's change this, let's reprioritize this piece of equipment for this facility upgrade. Eligible capital expenses are apparatus, major equipment purchases like SCBAs, station construction improvements, debt service, and large capital projects. And again, can't emphasize enough, board retains all discretion on any of these capital expenditures. Fleet replacement strategy guided by best practices, our personal experiences, and NFPA. Ambulances have roughly about a five-year frontline service, what we want to plan for. They get about 50,000 miles a year. Once they've hit that five-year mark, we plan to move those into a reserve status for a couple of years, usually around year seven on our new ambulances that we're receiving, we have an option to do a remount to save us some money. Engine and ladder trucks, again, this is by NFPA, 12 to 15 years frontline with a max of 25-year total lifespan. So 12 to 15 years, depending on how much maintenance money we're putting into it. Then we move to reserve status, and then in 25, we surplus it. Brush trucks don't get quite as heavy use as some of the larger equipment or ambulances. So 15 to 20 years total life cycle is something we feel like work well for us. And then admin fleet vehicles, worked a whole bunch of different scenarios to see what would be most cost effective. It looks like replacing one vehicle per year and getting those all onto a four-year cycle was going to be the most cost effective. All right, capital reserve management. This is, again, governed by the previous policy 219, reviewed annually during the budget process. Expenditures must align with the capital expenditure plan timing for that year, or you take action to change it. Any deviation, again, requires your approval. This is the capital plan as developed as part of this year's budget process. You can see that it lays it out. Or you guys kind of all went through this during the budget process, but this encompasses not only heavy equipment, like ambulances, brush trucks, ladder trucks, and engines, but it also has facilities, so station 21, 22, post station 23, and I threw a training facility on there with no money for Tom. I just give hope someday. This is, again, this isn't binding as far as how we manage this account and how we pay for things, but just for the sake of getting it on paper to see how the money would work out over time. This has anything large, anything that would be $1 million or more being financed, and anything less than that can pay cash for. But again, 2.9 is a starting fund, capital fund balance. Sounds like a lot when you look at our future expected expenditures and you play that tape through over 10 years. That brings us down to about 1.5. This does include, we'll talk about more, of course, in the future. In our tentative budget, this does include the 25-year dovetail bond option for Station 23 construction. So that's $500,000 per year until the debt service is retired on Station 22. At that point, that debt will pick up that remainder. Any questions on those?
Are we adopting this capital improvement plan in connection with this policy?
Yep. And again, this is something that we'll look at annually and probably readopt as a component of the budget in the future. But with this being specifically tied to this policy, it felt appropriate to do it with this.
Chris, I mentioned this at our 2-on-2, and I just want to make sure that everyone on the board kind of understood this sentence the same way that I did. I had a little bit of clarification, but it says, if the unassigned fund balance falls below 20% of the annual general fund expenditures, a restoration plan shall be implemented within two fiscal years. And how I understood that is that we would have a plan in place within the next year or two on how we would then start to improve that, not that we would have the balance caught up within 2 years.
Yes, it does not say restored within 2 years. It says a plan to restore within 2 years.
Both of you look like you don't understand that the same way. You understand that we would then be able to have that fund balance back up to where it should be within 2 years? Is that how you understand it?
That's how I interpret it.
I worry that could possibly add a strain on our tax if we were to take out like $1 million. You said anything over $1 million would be financed. Anything under $1 million we plan to pay for in cash. So if we had a large expense come up that takes $1 million out of that fund and all of a sudden within 2 years we need to restore that.
That would be the capital fund. So the unassigned is your rate. So I could argue that if we had to dip below the 20% limit on the unassigned, it was for something unanticipated, and you're probably going to want to restore it, even if that meant through a property tax increase.
All restoration will be done through a property tax increase, right? Like, we're going to pretty much have to figure a way to put it back in there. Like we said, we have limited ways of collecting that revenue. I just worry about giving ourselves a time limit of only 2 years that it's going to tie us to force us to have to increase taxes to a certain amount based on whatever amount had to come out.
So I don't think it forces us. I mean, it is a policy, but I mean, discretion is preserved. So if it created that, if there was going to create that type of a hardship that you're concerned about, I don't think we would be bound by the policy.
Okay.
Oh, it's our policy.
Just making sure that we weren't going to be like, well, we have this policy in place and we have to therefore implement this larger amount and we feel comfortable with.
Yeah, and I've noted giving us like just a guideline that we've that we should follow if we can. But if for some reason we can't, or it proves burdensome,
right,
we could always vary from that.
Okay, that was my only concern with that.
And I would hope that we would have this exact discussion when we looked at a large expenditure. Mm-hmm. So like, how are we going to fix it?
Yeah. Right.
When we are looking to take the money okay. out as well, so that we can make more double having this discussion.
Yeah, oh no, for sure. And I just wanted to make sure we were not binding ourselves to having to say, oh, now that this is in policy, we have to do it. I'm not exactly. I don't know how policies go if we then have to deal with meetings and agenda, you know, or something. Okay, that was my only concern on the wording.
My thought is it's a guideline too. I mean, it's something that you can say we've got. Like you say, it's not firm, but at least it's, you know, we're on the same frame about at least we're heading this way. So we have some area of discussion even in the future.
Good question. Any other questions?
I think the policy is designed to protect us and educate the public as to why we make some of this, because they can look at that money and say, well, you got all this money. Well, we don't really have all this money. It's there to support the fire department on the day-to-day operations that we'll go through, and this is why we're doing it, that kind of stuff. So I think they're both good policies. I move approval.
Okay. Thanks. Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. We'll get a motion and a second to adopt both policy 219 and 220. Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Very good. Thank you for bringing that to us. And nice to have that up.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's see. We'll move to item number 8, discussion and or action on the approval of resolution 26-03 of donating the 2013 ambulance to Weber School District. Deputy Chief Barker.
So this is the same ambulance that's sitting outside. We've already surplused it. Again, this is Nikki's cleaning us up and making us do a resolution to
Making us do things right.
Yeah, making us do things right.
Good training. Good training.
But in the last couple of weeks, I can't remember when it was, I actually attended an event with Weber School District out at their Innovation Center out on 12th Street where they're doing careers. And I mean, if you haven't been out there, it's pretty amazing what they're doing now. And I brought up, I'm like, oh, you're going to do, they're looking to start an EMS program so that they can teach first aid, not first aid, EMTs get certification to high schoolers. I'm like, well, we have an ambulance, and they asked if we'd be willing to donate it. We looked, I've got a comparable for an ambulance similar to that that was built the same year, same miles, and it's about $5,000 to $10,000 is all we'd get if we, and that's nationwide, we'd have to advertise it and try to get somebody to bid on it. We talked with the chief, we're looking at Bridgerland as well. They said they'd take our ambulance if we wanted to donate it to them, but we're thinking maybe we've donated them an engine. We can donate this ambulance to the school district and keep it local. And they may be able to take it around and advertise for us.
Ryan's working on getting an agreement.
We
wanted to have that for you tonight, but left this on here because we're likely not going to have another opportunity to talk about this until
September,
August or September. With all the requirements of the tax commission, that all our future meetings be standalone. So,
and if you don't want to donate it, then we'll pursue the advertising and selling
it. Trenzel.
Yep. Okay. Okay. So, up to you. But that's just another option that was presented to us.
What do you recommend? Does the administration recommend that we do this?
We do. Yeah, we wanted to put it in front of you if we didn't think it was a good idea.
Sure.
Because it supports, again, they're really trying hard to stand up both a fire and an EMS program. They've asked for our help as county chiefs, specifically with manpower and people leading the programs. And that's not something for a district our size that I feel like I can commit to. And I've been really hesitant to let them get their hands on Tom with all his experience, because I think he'll get stuck running the whole thing. So I protected that. But this feels like a nice way for us really to contribute when a lot of other departments are going to be contributing people and manpower and time. This feels like it satisfies that, you know, that sense of being a team player and sandbox and And then, yeah, it's not bad advertising. If we work into the agreement that they have to leave it stickered Northview, it's,
yeah,
I think it's a great thing.
Okay, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve resolution 26-03, donating the 2013 ambulance to Weaver School District.
I'll second. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve this resolution. Is there any further discussion?
Can I make one suggestion that we brought up? The Weaver School District is going to send over their donation, and we send it to, or make your resolution contingent upon legal approving it. Because if legal says no, then we probably shouldn't approve it.
Are you good with?
I'm good with that. I'm ending it.
Okay. Yeah.
Second.
Yeah.
Very good. So, any further discussion? All right. Those in favor, and so we're doing this by roll call also?
Thank you, yes.
Okay. We'll go the other way. Jay?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Mary?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Yes. Chris?
Yes.
And Tim? Yes. Yeah.
At least I won't say in some campground now, is it?
Comment here. Yes. About 20 years ago, we donated an ambulance. And my daughter went to Africa, Ghana, Africa, to help teach people. She was in need of maternity and delivery at Ogden Regional. She went there to help train mothers and people how to take care of the babies. They would just birth them and throw them in a basket and treat the mother because they can always have more babies. So she went there to help with her. She sent me a picture of her and her, a driver standing in front of an ambulance. And I'm like, that's our old ambulance. Some little village in Ghana.
They were wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That's awesome.
Small world. Cool. That's crazy.
That's good. Okay. item number 9, discussion and or action on the approval of resolution 26-04 interlocal agreement for heavy rescue.
Good news, only two more resolutions.
Thank you.
Okay. This is just an update to the Weber County Heavy Rescue interlocal agreement. Nothing has changed with some of the highlights. This is an agreement between us and as one of the six participating agencies. The agreement runs from January 1st of 2026, so we're a little behind getting this done through December 31st, 2030. We are categorized in this agreement as a subcontractor. So Ogden and Weaver and Riverdale are considered contractors. So they have a little bit more stringent requirements on what they have to provide than we do. The disciplines, the team disciplines that this covers, so the services that are provided through this contract to the county. Rope rescue, confined space rescue, trench rescue, structure collapse, swift water, ice rescue, advanced vehicle extrication. The agreement requires us, and again, this is how it's always been, provide 3 personnel trained to NFPA 1,670 technician level requirements. Northview will participate in joint trainings, coordination meetings, and operational planning with partner agencies. We can provide stipend funding directly to eligible tech, which must be passed through in full to the participating personnel, which we did for the first time last year. Participation enhances regional rescue capability, firefighter safety, and specialized rescue response to the whole county. And again, because this is an interlocal that does deal with funds in and out, this does happen.
Are there any changes to this agreement from the last one?
No, just essentially just
the same. Essentially the same.
Just the dates, yeah.
I'll make a motion that we approve resolution 26-04, the interlocal agreement.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve.
This was cleared through legal.
To approve this resolution, adopting the interlocal agreement for heavy rescue. Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Okay. Yes. Leonard.
Yes.
Kristen.
Yes.
Meredith.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
And Tim, yes. That passes unanimously. Okay. So now We'll move to item number 10. And so the budget officer intends to make a statement pursuant to section 59-2-919 for a small I that the tentative budget includes a proposed property tax rate increase. That's all we do
for that
item?
Nope. So I'm the designated budget officer. So I have,
to
read this exact thing. It is required that we have on the agenda that I am going to make that statement. So for the record, it was on the agenda. We're going to make the statement. Pursuant to section 59-2-919 of the Utah Code, Northview Fire District is considering a tax rate that exceeds the certified rate. Northview Fire District is considering increasing the certified tax rate to generate an additional $649,000 in ad valorem tax revenue. Purpose of this increase is to support capital expenditure, including purchase of land and the construction of Station 23 in Harrisville, the replacement of critical fleet assets, including the ambulance and administrative vehicle, and covering rising employee benefits and insurance costs, including health, dental, and workers' compensation coverages. The purpose of this tax increase, the proposed tax rate increase is approximately 13%. If the Northview Fire District proceeds with the proposed tax increase, the Northview Fire District shall provide notice of and conduct a public hearing as required, where members of the public have an opportunity to comment on the proposed increase.
Is that the end of the statement?
That's it. Thank goodness. Yeah.
Before everybody leaves, we have over there an affidavit that you'll all need to sign, verifying that that statement was read.
That was for real. No.
And Nikki needs a picture of herself with
as
you.
Well.
It is over there. It had been taken a picture of and has been timed stamped. So we have to make it known that it is available to the public. And our public has one.
All right, right there.
How old are you?
Dale, you need us to sign your company?
I would like it.
Yeah, let's forget. Okay. Anything further on number 10?
No, we'll hit the rest of the bargain.
All right. So now we'll move to item 11. Bear with me. Pursuant to section
59.
Yeah,
that's what he just read.
He just read it.
That is your statement. Yeah, 12. Okay. Well, the budget officer presents and makes available to the public fiscal year 2027 tentative budget.
Okay, so it's been a long process. I don't know how many hours you've spent. It's just quality time for me and you guys. I love it. So I'm proud to present the tentative budget that we developed both as a committee and during our two-on-twos. All right, budget philosophy, maintaining exceptional service levels while operating efficiently and responsibly. This budget is aligned with our short and long-term goals and the expectations that you guys have set for us as a district. And then, of course, this is always driven by our strategic planning process and our priorities. Those priorities, number one, is response and system services. This budget maintains minimum daily staffing levels for emergency response, reliability, supports paramedic program integration into the ALS. Response improvements. If you don't want to move. Funds apparatus, equipment replacement, operational readiness, and it positions the district for future station and deployment system improvements. Our second strategic objective, as you guys know, is administrative functions and efficiency. This budget supports that by supporting long-term capital planning and financial stability. Demonstrates commitments to sustaining non-tax revenue opportunities, diversifying district funding sources. We've talked a lot about that. We're doing a great job at that. This budget also supports accreditation, compliance with best practices, and supports us as a data-driven organization. Employee development and wellness. This budget funds training, certification, and professional development to maintain compliance with state and national training standards. It supports firefighter safety initiatives and ongoing wellness programs. It supports a culture of safety, professionalism, and continuous improvement.
On the morale and employee retention side, this budget funds competitive wages and benefits in support of recruitment, retention, and development of highly qualified personnel. It funds safe and reliable equipment, good working conditions, and it supports recognition, communication, and employee engagement efforts. Quick overview. Again, we'll go into much, much more depth. These guys had, they're privy to all the meetings. We'll get into much, much more depth about what this budget contains and some of the implications and how it would benefit you as a taxpayer and what it would cost you in future meetings. But this really is just presenting to you for adoption of the tentative. Revenues overall would be $8,388,577. You can see the breakdown of our revenue sources. Again, we don't get sales tax. We're doing a really, really great job of creating and taking advantage of non-tax revenue sources. Most of our growth has been funded by those non-tax revenue sources like paramedic programs, fixing administrative things like the Social Security issue, changing our impact fee structure. So again, we're never going to get away from property tax being our primary driver as a district. But ambulance fees continue to increase. You can see what a big chunk that paramedic program is providing for us. That was a huge move for us, the non-tax revenue side of things. Some of those changes, specifically impact fees, we're expecting about $100,000 more in impact fees than we got last year. We're already to almost $250,000 in impact fees this year. I think we collected not quite $70,000 in impact fees the year prior to redoing our impact fee schedule. So that's been a big win for us. Ambulance fees, we do anticipate with increasing call volume, that going up by about $50,000. Paramedic contract increased from $595 to $635, so $40,000 increase on that. And then new growth, we're projecting to come in around 3%. Historically, that's been pretty close. That should bring in roughly $148,000. So a total non-tax revenue increases of almost $340,000 over last year. On the expenditure side, of course, it's the exact same expenditure amount because we have to have a balanced budget. Total expenditures of $8,388,577. You can see that we focus a lot on operational costs, and I'll show you where we've tried to lean that out as much as we can, make sure we're not wasting money and being as efficient as we possibly can be. But at the end of the day, salaries are going to be the biggest chunk. Fire trucks don't put fires out by themselves. So salaries and wages is a big chunk. Add in total employee benefits, and you're nearly three-quarter of our budget for people. And the changes there, this is prior to doing market surveys. So this is our salaries compared to our Weber County partners that we compete with for personnel.
No.
You can see we try to say that zero line is going to be that average top out. So we accept that we're not the largest organization. We're never going to be the highest paid. But in order to be fair to our employees and try to keep them around, we need to at least try to be in the ballpark. We've determined that being as close to that average top out as we can be combined with good culture, good planning, good leadership is going to help us keep the employees we want to keep. So this was prior. You can see that engineers and captains were falling behind, and on the administrative side, quite a bit behind. We've adjusted that for what the CPI is coming in roughly to 2.5. This is the same COLA that I think Ogden is providing this year. That's based on fiscal, not calendar. If we look at calendar, it was closer to 3.3% for calendar year 25, but we captured some of that increase that happened in second quarter of 25 in our call last year, which was 2.5, pretty much nailed that one right on. So this goes from last July to what we project will be this coming July, so 2.5% call there. Small market adjustments for engineers and captains to get them a little bit closer to that average top. And then trying to address at least half of the discrepancy with the administrative wages, taking half of the bite this year with an expectation to try to correct the rest of that next year. So benefits increase. Health insurance has increased about $59,000 from last year. Dental went up $4,000. Insurance, $18,239. Total increase for benefits, about $81,000. Combined with our salary increase of 361, that's COLA steps and market adjustments, benefit decrease of 21,000. I'll tell you why in just a second. Salary and benefits change of just 320,000 instead of more because, like you saw in the earlier policy, we've changed how we're managing our compensated absences. So that's freed up about 167,000 in revenue that we can use because now we're backing that compensated absence liability from unassigned fund balance rather than being an assigned line item. All right, on the operational side, again, you know, small chunk of what we actually do and what it actually costs to run a fire district. But we do try to look at this every year and try to lean this out as much as we can. So you can see how the numbers have changed on the operational side. We've actually been able to reduce operational expected expenses by almost $58,000 this year. Capital improvements plan. So driven by our capital improvements plan that was looked at and discussed tonight. Do you have any questions on the way this works?
Do you lean forward every time this one comes up?
No, I'm just trying to study for it. But
okay, I'm happy to explain anything you want. Okay, driven by this plan, so this is the year we're in. So these are the special expenditures for this year. This is the cash that we expect to spend from capital fund. Fleet financing, how much we plan to finance that year, and any facilities financings right here to give you your bonus. This is our starting balance. That should be roughly what our income balance is.
So those capital improvements that we need to budget for this year include replacement ambulance, $330,000 replacing one admin vehicle, $47,000 lease payment for ladder 21 of $241,000. Station 22 bond of 212, and then this tentative budget includes Station 23 construction bond of 500,000. But so the timeline,
So those are funded, not financed, right?
Yeah. So on this one, based on the way we laid it out, and again, you guys could change that at any time, but I think it makes sense and the plan works the way that we structured it. You would see a cash transfer from the capital assigned into the budget of about $385,000 to pay cash out of fund balance for the ambulance and the admin vehicle, right? And then the lease payment and of the ladder would also be cash out. The bond would be cash out. The only new tax payment would be for the Station 23 construction. But nothing else on there would be additional finance. The ladder is just continuing finance. Okay, again, just to be super clear, this isn't a final decision. This is a tentative budget. This is the budget that was presented and the budget that I was asked to bring to the board for adoption as a tentative. We still have a long way to go before this is implemented. So budget timeline, this is today, adopt the tentative budget. June 11th, we will hold a public hearing to receive community comments. We'll also be required to adopt a tax rate that needs to be entered into the system by June 22nd, and on June 11th, we'll also be required to adopt a final budget if we take the certified rate or an interim budget if we plan to exceed the certified rate and continue on to a true taxation. Yeah.
Remember, on the 28th, it needs to be tentatively adopting the tentative budget.
Yeah. Is that the way the resolution's written?
Yeah.
Okay. Then because
so you'll
tentatively adopt a tentative
budget. If it was a tentative budget,
legally, that's our attorneys, right? And then if you do decide to exceed the certified rate, we move on with an interim budget. We'll have a set aside that's required by state law for the amount that we're short of our budget that we would be requiring a tax increase to cover into a restricted account until the completion of the TNT and the certification of our rate, which wouldn't happen until after a truth in taxation hearing, which is scheduled for August 3rd.
Bond is person budget. Wouldn't that normally be outside of the budget, so to speak? I mean, you show a bond for the Station 23, which hasn't been approved.
Yeah, it's the
report. No, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. It's the revenue to support that bonding. So really, really, and again, I know Jeff goes crazy with this. Really, all of the money is for everything. From an accounting perspective, what we are trying to do is make it as clear cut as possible. So we want to be as transparent with the public as we can and tell them like what is really being additional. But it would be just as easy to say that the extra $500,000 is accounted for, and then we can proceed with, you know, bonding. But we need to raise taxes $500,000 to pay for an ambulance, a fleet vehicle, and increase health insurance costs. So it's a little messier. Or a little cleaner this way. And again, I think a little bit more transparent. I want you, the public, to know what's actually on the table. We're not trying to hide it in the budget and say that the tax increase is for one thing, but it's for something else. That's your question?
Yes, but what you're doing is covering what basically you're addressing with the tax increase is what I heard you say.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to have a tentative budget that covers everything else. And that's supposed to be made available to the public, and that has to be proposed. Be it these are the additional items, I would expect the other items to show up and be available to the public as well.
Yeah, and it's all available on the website currently, right?
Not the tentative,
Today or tomorrow.
Today or tomorrow.
So that's required to be available for 10 days. It'll be published.
Okay. As soon as
I can't do it until they get approved.
I get it. But the other
tentative
is available on the website.
It will be for the required 10 days or longer. We'll post it probably tomorrow morning.
Okay. But yeah, it's not on there as of right now because it hasn't been approved.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Any more questions?
Okay.
You know what I like about Kevin?
Keeps
us on track.
I know, yeah. I love it.
I know.
Okay.
There's so many questions that come up. Sometimes I have to hold myself down.
And I don't remember if this is a separate item on the agenda. I think it is. So that concludes the presentation of the intended budget for your consideration.
Go back one slide. Is that one?
Yeah.
No,
that one. Yeah.
Oops, it disappeared. Okay.
What did you?
He was just saying he didn't want to be on the next line.
So one of the.
The next slide was the next agenda item.
Next agenda item. Oh, they're just queuing up to me.
So you don't have to. Right. You don't have to do anything right now.
Okay. Got to read the statement again.
I got to read.
I'm just kidding.
Let's see. Okay, so the budget officer, so we're doing item number 13. The budget officer presents and makes available to the public a property tax impact schedule as a separate document from the other budget documents pursuant to sections 59-2-919. 4AI and 59-2-9248B. Chief Maxville.
Easy for you to say. Okay, so one of the new requirements this year from the State Tax Commission is that we produce, based on estimates, a what's called a property tax impact schedule, make it available to the public. This has to be available, both hard copies are available today. Published on the district website as of 5/21, posted on Station 21 exterior doors, and has been posted on Utah Public Notice website since 5/21. So I'll try to explain it just a little bit. What they asked us to do is identify the total amount, the ad valorem increase, but all of this has to exclude any new growth projection. So they're asking us to estimate, but they don't allow us to estimate. So the numbers will look a little bigger than what we anticipate them actually would be. But that's the way that the state is requiring us to do this. So Northview Fire District will consider an increase to property tax rate, generate an additional $646,000. Following information is intended to provide decision makers and the public with explanation of how the district's operations will be affected if the property tax rate were to change. Proposed revenue with tax would be $5,603,699. Northview Fire District's current property tax revenue is $4,957,699. Additional property tax revenue to Northview Fire District would be $646,000. Our current property tax rate is 0.001096. The estimated increase to Northview Fire District property tax revenue would be 13%. Estimated annual increase to the primary residence of $544,000. That's last year's value. Would be $42.73. Estimated annual increase to a business of $544,000, again, last year's estimates, $77.69 a year. Again, note that this does not include new growth, so these numbers will not probably, well, again, they will not exceed this. Maybe that's the right way to look at this. They will definitely not exceed these numbers. This will be the ceiling. But as we get the new growth numbers on the 8th, this will be adjusted. It should not be anywhere here. Again, we project about a 3% new growth. That's consistent with it over here. So this should come down closer to about $500,000 or
9 or 10% increase total.
Oh, gee, the statement you just made on that. So this is how much more we need, but it does not yet consider new growth.
Correct. So the only number that will be the same
is the total.
Is the total, the very top line, proposed revenue, right? That's the revenue that is based on the tentative budget. All the other numbers are forced estimates with last year's property values and excluding any new growth projection.
And I asked that question just because I want to make sure that new growth will affect it.
Hopefully available on the 8th.
They swore up and down they have it on the 8th. So
we'll see. They're the county.
And we pressed them on that a couple times in public meetings.
Yes.
Then capital improvement. So again, this also asks us to list each department that will be affected and how. We received clarification from the tax commission because we don't have departments. We are a department, not many departments, but they asked that we just outline what the increase would cover. So again, this one's a little different too, because not only do we have to say what we project the tax increase would be and what that would be for, but because they force us to estimate this without new growth, we have to then also say what the rest of that money would be for. So most of these things will likely, and again, keep things clean, keep this discussion about what I think is probably the most divisive topic with the station, keep it nice and squarely focused on that. Most of this other stuff will probably get eaten up by new growth. So capital improvement, stage 23 bonding for property construction. That's that $500,000 bond. Funding to assist the purchase of an ambulance and admin vehicle. If new growth comes in lower than we project, then we may have to have that money in there to help cover the cost of those new capital expenditures. And then benefits and insurance costs of $76,000. And we have to describe what that means. So the property tax increase is intended to support several key district priorities, including the purchase of property 4 and the construction of Fire Station 23 in Harrisville, the replacement of critical fleet assets, including an ambulance administrative vehicle, and rising employee benefits and insurance costs, including health, dental, and workers' compensation coverages. Additional revenue generated through the proposed increase in combination with existing capital funds and projected new growth will assist the district in maintaining reliable earnings. Bond capability supporting continued community growth and sustained operational readiness throughout the district.
Will you please just state that they are readily available on our table?
Once again, they're available on the table, published on the website, posted on the exterior doors, and available on the Utah public notice website. We check all the boxes.
So
did I do the hokey pokey just right?
Comes in tomorrow, where would they be
available? They're on that door, and also on the website. This is on the website till August 3rd. I need to change that because it must be on there till September, if we get it. But they have to accept it, and I forgot to change it. So I have to just go in and change that to the different date. And then it is also on our website under taxes, and it has a link straight to it.
Cool. So then once we get the rates and we see what
people have copies at the desk
and we see what new growth actually is, then we can put real numbers to that by the meeting on the 11th. Try to get clarification on whether or not this needs to change, because this also has to be a separate agenda item every meeting here on out. And to try to get clarification on whether or not this needs to be adjusted with and updated with the new information, and they couldn't really give us a straight answer. So
Tony said yes, but we haven't asked the state
was a little less clear. So this will probably remain the same. Again, I think it's good. It sets that no more than, but I think it's a little in the spirit of trying to inform the taxpayer, I think we're misinforming them a bit. So you may get questions on that, even after the June 11th meeting, this is still available as originally constructed, because I don't know that we feel brave enough to try to change it. But what I'll probably do is put together one that to go with it that shows the actuals to what we actually are expecting.
Cool.
So is the new growth an actual from time to time or anticipated?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Is the amount of actual new growth from a time period last year to this year, or anticipated?
Well, it'll be
it'll be
actual. Answer. Yeah, realized. Yeah, we can once we get it, we get it.
Thanks. You need to get that on again.
Which is crazy.
I figured there was a county guy here that could answer that.
So again,
the timing of the June 11th meeting is purposefully after that June.
So 8th. I mean that when that figure can be determined.
Yep, and it'll be provided to us, and then we can figure the calculations to see what the certified rate actually is. Okay, I think we checked all the boxes.
Yep.
All
right. Be there.
Okay, so we'll move to item number 14, consideration of resolution 26-05, a resolution of Northview Fire District, Utah, tentatively adopting the tentative budget, and for Northview Fire District for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2026 and ending June 30th, 2027, and scheduling a public hearing to hear comments and adoption of an interim budget pursuant to section 59-2-924-8A on June 11th, 2026, 6 p.m. at Fire Station 21, 315 East, 2550 North, North Ogden, Utah, 84414, and the schedule of a truth in taxation public hearing to hear comments and consider the proposed tax increase and adoption of final budget on August 3rd, 2026 at 6 p.m.
Whoever makes that motion, you have to read it all. Anywhere. Now you say so
moved since he read it.
Discussion.
Let's make the motion and second, then we can we'll do discussion. Yeah, so if somebody wants to
make a motion.
Yeah. Well, you have to read.
You have to read the whole thing verbatim.
Oh.
All of 11.
No, 14.
14. Duration of resolution 26-5. A resolution of the Northview Fire District, Utah, tentatively adopted the tentative budget and for Northview Fire District for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2026, and ending June 30th, 2027, and the scheduling of a public hearing to hear comments and adoption of an interim budget pursuant to Section 59-2-924. (a) on June 11th, 2026 at 6 p.m. at Fire Station 21, 315 East, 2550 North, North Ogden, Utah, 84414. And the schedule of a truth in taxation public hearing to hear comments and consider the proposed tax increase and adoption of a final budget on August 3rd, 2026 at 6 p.m. So moved.
Second.
And just so we're clear, the motion is to adopt the resolution.
Yes.
Thank you. Or approve the resolution. Yeah. We do have a second.
Second.
Okay. So now discussion.
And a roll call.
Well, sorry.
Yeah, I just want to point out in the budget committee meeting, I said I would support moving forward with this process, but I wanted to, after the two-on-twos and everything, to have the discussion about the timing for the fire station. I supported it because I believe we need property acquisition at the very, very minimum. And so that's why I still think someplace we need to have that discussion, but I don't know what is the appropriate time in August. Is it now? Is it for the final? Is it that truth and taxation? I don't know when that timing is, but I think it's a discussion I wanted to have as the entire board with my comment back at the budget meeting. So I'll defer to whoever as to when you think the time is, because I don't know how it all fits in this mess.
Well, again, this is just the tentative. Feels a little binding, but June 11th public hearing. That's probably I plan on presenting more in more detail, more what you guys saw during the budget meetings to the public. And then, of course, if we end up moving forward beyond then, doing the same or a little bit more in August.
So now's not really the time for budget discussion. All we're doing today is moving forward to tentatively adopt this so that we can have our public comments.
Unless, again, the majority of you would prefer not to move forward with this option and just take a certified rate than that.
Are those our only two options?
Well, the way that it's structured, this really forces you to be very specific on what the tax increase is for. But I believe there is some wiggle in there if you wanted to pare it down to some of those other expenses, like the $70,000 for fleet and the $76,000 for benefits and insurance increases. But again, I'm not sure those would be necessary if new growth comes in where we want. So I think a discussion prior to having all the information, yeah. June 11th, probably the appropriate time for you guys to really, really, you know, discuss when we have real numbers with you, and we know whether or not it really is, you know, the station or if it's everything else.
Okay.
But if you want to have the station discussion and you want options, once we have all the information, then tentatively adopting the tentative as presented now probably be.
Thank you.
Ask Cam a question. Our treasurer, you have a firehouse in your South Ogden, right? That over in Uena, that little.
It's actually Weaver Fire District that has
one. Is it? So it's Weaver County's. Yeah, okay.
Weaver Fire District.
I know we've seen it, and I know we'd prefer to do the station and stuff, but just for due diligence for us as a board, would doing a firehouse over in that area, thinking that maybe we're in it for say 5 or 10 years or something, and then as build up has gone farther, then move with the one we've already, you know, we've got sure the engineering and everything, the architecture stuff with the one that would be across the street. The one example I'd sent out in you know, a few months ago with that Aurora one. I know it's in a neighborhood. They don't run their sirens when they come out of the neighborhood. They turn their lights on and they go out to the main road, and that's when they get loud and proud. But I mean, if we were to secure a lot in there and do something that's, you know, say it costs $1 million versus the $10 million, is that more appetizing to taxpayers and things to get more behind something like that? I mean, it's just something for us to consider. I would love to go into a station and grow into it. I think that's probably the administration's preference rather than to do it twice in a number of years. But I mean, we're kind of some, you know, people in gas prices are going to come to our meeting in a few weeks and and be armed and charged, ready to, you know, probably have some pushback at us. But just a thought. I'm not in the fire service. I don't know the pros and cons on that. But if does Weaver County like their firehouse? I mean, does it work? Does it serve them well for the call line they got?
Did 20 years.
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You know,
done it. They've outgrown it.
Or under.
Yeah.
But have they used it for 20 years?
Oh.
They have a really good fire station, like less than a mile from it as well, which is his fire station.
Good.
Yeah.
Here you go, Cam.
I'll say they're not utilizing that strategy for their growth on the west side. That tells you. They're proposing and designing stations that are quite a bit more expensive than the one that we have designed.
And I know that model is in Aurora, where it's like a fast growing suburb of Denver, and they're just, you know, building big, it's almost like Daybreak kind of developments, and, you know, it's fast growth. But I don't know.
It's a good thought, though, Jay. I actually appreciate it. I appreciate your trying to be moderate in your approach. I don't know. I think Weaver County School District, and I guess maybe tonight isn't the time for discussion. Maybe we should just pass this as it tentatively is, and then when we have real numbers, we can actually debate.
But what's your comment?
I just think Weaver County School District is seeing a tiny bit of what I fear if we build too soon. Like, they went in and built elementary schools anticipating quite a bit of growth that has not happened. And now they are forced to pay those costs that are continuous on elementary schools that are half empty. And they've had a lot of budgetary issues and having to let go of a lot of, you know, people and teachers. And it's been interesting to watch as the numbers did not, that they anticipated, did not actually come to fruition. And now they are struggling with their budget a lot. So, and I know that all of our numbers show that we're going to need a new station. And I know we will eventually. I just don't want to get us into a situation where we have built and have these revenue costs, as overhead costs, that are never going away too soon. So
my question would be, when then would be the right time?
Well, when I talked to Leonard, I do agree that securing land, like I agree that a station will happen eventually. And I wish I actually could tell you like, oh, I know exactly this is the year that it will be.
Well, but so, I'm not so much that. I mean, what I meant was, what would be the acceptable criteria for when you would start?
It's a great question. I'll think of an answer before June 11th.
I think that's fair.
Well, yeah. On that line, having observed the construction that's going on and will go on in this area.
That's what's hard. It's like Pleasant View is issuing, you know, 40, 50 building permits, you know, and at one time, like 20 a month. And the last year I was there, I think we did five for the year. you know, we did a lot better in the commercial, but as far as residential and that whole Falls and Loman View type thing, it's not Pleasant View's fault. It's interest rate and housing markets that put this artificial brakes on everything. So,
right.
Yeah. And that the school district is fighting that
problem. Yeah, and I'm not criticizing the school district. I don't want that to be what I'm saying. I'm just saying they anticipated incorrectly based on projection. And now they are dealing with a lot of fallout from that, and a lot of people lost jobs from it. So, and taxes will increase this year because of that again, which they did last year. So,
I assume you're referring to Longview and Orchard Springs,
And Bates and North Ogden and Majestic. Actually, all five of those schools have had decrease in numbers in Weber County School District. So, and actually, Orchard Springs has been half empty since it was started, and it started to decrease in numbers, but they've had three empty classrooms.
Well, I just wondered, and I wasn't familiar enough with the history of this, but I just assumed that the plan all along would have been to close Longview.
It was not.
It was not.
Nope. Nope. They've done a lot of improvements. They plan to keep, this was in addition to Longview. Closing Longview has just now been recently a suggestion based on budgetary issues.
Kind of like got rid of the portables up there.
Yeah, I bet they did.
We won't be able to go over the data report, but I can tell you how things have continued trending, and I'll try to get the report out to you at least through email so you have that for second quarter.
We'll include that in the updated numbers.
But it, like as of right now, we're 300 plus calls ahead of where we were last year this time. So,
is that with the paramedic calls included?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not. It's not the apples to apples. I mean, it doesn't.
It doesn't account for it. So there, that would only be permanent calls that they're running outside of the district boundaries, and they haven't run 300 calls outside of the district boundaries.
Because they know how many they have.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, June 11th, I plan on going over again. You know, the stuff that, and we'll have updated numbers to kind of show you. Because it is looking into the crystal ball.
It's hard. I know. I'm not trying. You've done a great job.
And it is up to you guys when we move forward. Yeah. And we've got a great service right now. We'll continue being great. And depending on how you feel and what driving looks like, you guys can make a decision. We'll support you guys 100%.
Yes.
Any other discussion? Okay. Roll call. Chris?
Yes.
Leonard?
Yes.
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 Okay. Tim, yes. Very good. Item number 15, administration's report.
Not much to report in the midst of all this madness, and because of our great admin staff, we were able to somehow pull off a captain's testing process and middle of all that. So hats off to these guys. It was pretty great. We only had three applicants that were eligible. And when we talked about career ladder program and building depth and succession planning, you know, that that's a pretty good example of maybe the bench isn't quite deep enough. Maybe some incentives sometime in the future might be appropriate. But we were happy with the three candidates, and they all three did great. Sean Lowe came out number one. Nate Newman came out number two, and Sam Barrett came out number two. That's all I got other than the roundtable. Nikki, what you got?
I have nothing.
Just real quick, I was going to mention, now that we've gone through the interlocal with Rice, I can have a policy to you next time. I'm going to try to model it after the sewer boards, because Mark Anderson's their attorney that wrote it, which is Rachel's father-in-law. So that question we have is, the sewer board has a policy of 10 years at 15%. Most everyone else is 15 years at 50%. What direction would you like it to go?
Can we discuss that about it?
You can give me a guide. You can just say some guidance. We're not making. Do you want it to go 15 or 10? I mean, we're not making any final decision.
Maybe more conservative.
What?
Maybe more conservative than that.
Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to, and just
bye.
Almost all these other policies tie it to public infrastructure. Mm-hmm. This project does not have hardly any public infrastructure, and they still. And so it's kind of. Do you want that included or not? Yes or no? And if you don't, then that's fine. But that'd be like water, sewer, roads, that kind of stuff.
Hmm. I think that's very limiting. I think, like I said, the only reason I changed my support, because when I was the mayor of Pleasant View, I opposed this. Okay. That's why they didn't come until after I was not there. But I opposed it because I felt it was more possibly could be a bait and switch. When the guarantee of the 100, that wouldn't take effect until 170 jobs.
Right.
Okay. So, because jobs are important. That also brings, besides the unsecured personal property, jobs bring leaving our restaurants and so on and so forth. So that's why I changed my vote. So to say just public infrastructure, when you can be talking about jobs, personal property, so on and so forth, I think is an important part of the equation too.
And that's what all these other boards, they brought the jobs into their contract, because, and that's how they got away from public infrastructure. So I'll bring something back.
Yeah, I don't think we want to limit ourselves.
Okay. It's been a long enough meeting.
Smartest man in the room.
Yeah.
Amen.
Not after that, either.
Okay. Item 15, nothing for me. Item 17, other and or identify matters for future consideration and or action. Jay?
Nothing. Thanks.
Nothing.
Oh, can I say one thing?
Mm-hmm.
Just want to thank the budget committee for all their hard work, and the team for the 2-on-2. It was awesome. Thank you. That's all. Nothing.
I would just like to know how the education incentive went from last year that we approved as a new item in the budget. Like, if that got used, if how it was distributed.
I think I got to take blame for not getting the word out strong enough.
Okay, that's fine. I just didn't know how that was actually implemented and if we thought it was a good thing. That's
I want to commend you on all your hard work on this.
Oh, thanks.
It's been a lot. And all of you guys do such a great job.
Yeah, chat up to Dr. J on Zoom.
Thanks, Jeff.
Wake up, Jeff.
whoever had to do all this, probably Nick, you knew. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, the level of professionalism, you know, it just gives us a lot of confidence in what we're being presented and what we're
thank you.
I want to second that. Being involved with.
Very good. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Okay. Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.